we would have a sermon time, but I'm looking at the time and going, I don't think we'll have a sermon time. But what I did want to do was to give an idea. It's Christmas time. And why would three individuals decide to get baptized? Well, one, because Jesus told us to be baptized. He tells us in his word in Matthew chapter 28 to baptize. And secondly, does God speak? Scripture clearly tells us that God speaks to us today. And I would call it a nudge. And a nudge might be an impression, it might be a voice, it might be a sign. Why did Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem? What happened that made Mary believe that she was going to give birth? An angel appeared. Why did the shepherds believe that something miraculous had happened in Bethlehem? Because angels appeared. Why did the wise men spend 2 years of their life traveling, following a star? Because it was an impression. It was God's nudge. It was God saying something miraculous has happened. They read the prophecies. Some believe that they were wise men from Daniel's time and that they knew the Hebrew scriptures. They knew the prophecies that a Messiah would be born in Israel, and they saw a star. A nudge, an impression, a movement, God speaking. Well, Jesus speaks today. God speaks to us today by his Holy Spirit. He said, your Holy Spirit will come to live in you when you decide to follow me. And so these three individuals we had come forward this morning, God's speaking to them to say, I want you to follow me. And that first step of following was baptism. When we read in Scripture, that's the first thing that Jesus did before he started his ministry. He came and he was baptized. How humbling that would be, that you would humble yourself before your own creation to be baptized. But he did this because the Father said to do so. And so he did so. It says in John chapter 14, verse 21, those who love me will do as I command. Those are Jesus' words. God's scripture is not a nudge. God's scripture is his voice that was recorded, that was written. Many would question his scriptures and say that it was written by man. Well, if that was the case, how is it that every book fits together so well and has one message in it? That God is with you. God Emmanuel was born for you, for me, so that we might not experience the wrath of God because we've left him behind. Christmas is a reminder, it's a nudge that God loves us, that God loves you, and that he was born and eventually died for you, for your sin. For our fallen shortness, he died. And it was recorded. Three individuals decided to get baptized because they had the voice of God, a nudge that said, you need to do this. You need to obey. It's the first step of obedience is what baptism is. And it's a nudge. Interesting, there's a story in the Bible that talks about Jonathan and his armor bearer. Anybody know the story of Jonathan? Jonathan was the son of King Saul, who was the first king of Israel. Because the people did not want to follow God, they wanted to be like the rest of the world, they wanted a king. So God appointed and chose Saul to be their king. Well, Saul wasn't a very good king. He actually built an ego that it was all about him. At first, he did well. He was following God, but then he chose to do his own thing. And we have these stories in 1 Samuel chapters 10 through 15. But an interesting thing about his son, Jonathan, is there's a situation, they're surrounded by Philistines. And Jonathan, being a man of faith, even though he's a Gentile, he's a man of faith. He's a friend of David, who's King David, where Jesus comes from. Jonathan goes and picks fights with Philistines, gets them into trouble. But we read in the story of 1 Samuel 14 that Israel is hiding in caves. They're hiding behind trees and rocks. They're scared of the Philistines. But Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "Let's go pick a fight with those Philistines." Interesting. His armor bearer says what? Says, "Well, I don't think so. They're so much bigger than we are. I'm afraid. We don't have the proper weaponry." In Israel at that time, the only persons that had weapons, like swords, were who? Saul and Jonathan. You read the scriptures. The armor bearer says, "Do what's on your heart. I will follow." So Jonathan says, "Okay, let's go." And Jonathan says this on the way as they're hiding and they can see the garrison. Jonathan says, "Well, this is how it's going to go down. We're going to show ourselves. We're going to step out. And if those Philistine men up there say, 'Hey, stay there and wait while we come down and get you,' then we'll know the Lord is not with us. But if they say, 'Come up here and we'll make sport of you,'" something like that, "then God is with us and we will go." So they show themselves. And what do the Philistines do? They say, "Come up here and we'll show you." And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "Okay, the Lord has given them to us. Off we go." And this isn't just a traverse. This is, they had to climb a cliff. How many of you have done a free mountain climbing? I've never done that. I don't think I ever want to do that either. But he's climbing this cliff, and the Philistines are waiting at the top, waiting for him to come. Can you imagine climbing this cliff, and then you have to fight a garrison of Philistines? How absurd would that be? You would surely die. But Jonathan and his armor bearer kill 20 Philistines. They kill them all. And it says that was the first incursion, Scripture says, in chapter 14 of 1 Samuel. They did it many, 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 many times. What would have caused Jonathan to pick that fight? It's because back in 1 Samuel 10, when Saul is anointed as king, his father, Samuel says to him, "The Lord is with you. You have the Lord's favor. Do whatever you figure a circumstance requires. The Lord is with you. Do what's on your heart," in other words. When you read through those chapters between chapter 10 and chapter 15, you'll see it says, "And he did what was on his heart. And he did what was on his heart." Do we always do what's on our heart? Do we always do what's on our heart? Better yet, is what's on our heart always holy and godly? Because Scripture says men's hearts are wicked above all things. But when we pursue God and we follow God, And we draw close to him, he says what? I will draw close to you. And we read it in between those scriptures that God was with Saul and came upon Saul and changed his heart, and Saul prophesied like those who prophesied. And they were like, is he a prophet now? Who's with him? Jonathan. His son is with him, listening to all of this, and he takes this all in. And so when he comes to the garrison of the Philistines, he goes, the Lord is with us. My heart is with the Lord to do what he wants. The Lord is with us. So he has this nudge. And he goes forward. And the Lord confirms with Jonathan that, yes, I want you to do this. Gives him victory, gives him favor. And it throws the Philistine army into confusion and chaos. And the Israelites run over the Philistines that day. Saul gets brave. All the Israelites come out of the caves and they pursue the Philistines. But it says at the end of the day, it wasn't Jonathan and it wasn't Saul who saved Israel. Who's the credit given to? The Lord, it says. The Lord saved Israel that day. What would you do with God's nudge? What would you do with God's voice? What would you do with God's sign to you? As Mary and Joseph see an angel, the angel comes to Mary and says, you are highly favored. The Lord is going to come upon you. You're going to give birth, and it's going to be from God. What's Mary thinking? What kind of greeting is this? That's what she said. The scripture says, what kind of greeting is this? She's in fear and trembling. But then she realizes this is a message from God. Joseph, same thing. He discovers that Mary is pregnant, and he's like, I'm going to divorce her quietly. But what happens? God speaks to Joseph in a dream, gives him a nudge, says, that which is in Mary is of me. It's the Messiah, it's Jesus. Where would you be, where would we be if we don't listen to God's nudge, God's voice, to his word, to his signs? Where would we be? Let's pray. Father God, we so thank you for this day. I thank you that you have Greg and Caitlin and Dwayne. That they listen to your voice. That they wanted to obey and be baptized. And what a special time to do so. Father, I pray that your hand of favor would be upon both of them, each one of them, that you would walk with them, that you would speak with them, that they would know your voice, they would recognize your nudge. Father, that they would love you, follow you, obey you the rest of their lives. I pray that they would be your vessels that speak life into others. I pray that they would be a glorious witness this Christmas. Father, we thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that you've given your spirit to us, that indwells within us, that we might know who you are and what you require. Father, would you bless us and keep us and shine your face upon us this Christmas, this season. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.